Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You know, it's really easy for Easter, for that matter, for any kind of big Christian holiday to become just a religious thing that you do. It can be a thing in your life to where you just kind of come to church and go through the motions and because it's what you do. But my hope tonight is that that doesn't happen for you, because it's so easy. What religion can do to us is it can take something so amazing and make nothing out of it. It can take something as amazing as the Son of God coming to the earth, dying on a cross for my forgiveness and yours, and it never realizing in our life. It's kind of like this. Anybody ever gone on vacation? How many of y'all like the beach? How many of you just think this winter was way too long? Yeah, me too. And, you know, going to the beach, Michelle and I were able to go to the beach in January for celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary almost 2 years late. But we went. And I have to tell you something. When you leave and it's January in Pittsburgh and you're at the beach, and we were in an island in the Caribbean, Antigua, I just have to tell you, every time I looked at the weather here and it was miserable, it felt better. But here's what it's like. Here's what religion does to you. You go to a beautiful island, you have a hotel where you're literally on the beach, and you stay in your room and you close the curtains and you put up pictures of the beach. If you like, in my case, I came with Michelle. She doesn't come in the room with me. I just put pictures up of her. I have symbols of her. You go with your family or friends and you never meet with anybody. You never hang out with anybody. All you really do is just put up pictures. You never even open the drapes in the room, the curtains. You just simply stay in that dark room. You're right at the beach, but you never experience it. That's what happened. That's exactly what religion does. It brings you to the very amazing things of God and then just says, nah, not for you. You're never really going to get to experience this. Let me illustrate it maybe a little more easily. How many of you have any debt? Okay, how about a mortgage? Anybody have maybe a car loan? School loans. Yeah, those are of the devil. You might have a school loan, right? What if tonight, for your Easter present, Steve Moore, he's a good man, I'm telling you. He's a fine human being when he sleeps. He is a fine human being. Steve Moore is going to pay for all of your debt, every debt everybody in the room has. He's going to put it, we're putting it on him. In fact, stand up, Steve Moore, so you know who to see. That's the man to see. And you bring all of your debts to him, and he cancels your debt and assumes them himself. And next month, they send you a payment. And Steve Moore sends you some stuff in the mail, shows you your debt's paid in full. But they send you your mortgage payment. How many of you are going to say, well, you know, they asked for it. How many of you are going to write your mortgage company and say, don't you ever write me another letter? My debt is canceled. You've been paid in full. And I have no donations for you. Leave me alone. How many of you would have that come out of you real easily? That picture is what happens in religion. Your debt has been canceled. It has been nailed to a cross, and people keep trying to pay it themselves. It is so important to understand that every person longs, it is the longing of every human heart to be forgiven. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, as we celebrate a risen Savior, it is my heart's desire that tonight you experience that forgiveness. That you genuinely experience it. Everybody longs to be forgiven. People long to be forgiven by their parents. Things that you may have done when you were young or maybe not so young. And you devastated your family and maybe you broke your parents' heart. And maybe it's put a difficult wall between the two of you. And you long to be forgiven by your parents. Sometimes that doesn't come in this life. Sometimes people don't offer forgiveness. You know, Ernest Hemingway wrote a book, and I'm not much for reading Hemingway. He was kind of a little crazy, but But anyway, he wrote a book called Capital of the World. In the book, he tells about a joke that was told in Spain about a young man named Paco. Paco was a real common name, kind of like John would be a common name in the U.S. Talked about how Paco and his father were estranged. And they were, you know, they just had a very horrible rift. And so Paco's father put an ad out in the paper, a real big ad. And here's what it said. Paco, all is forgiven. Dad, meet me in front of the newspaper office next Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Bold letters, all is forgiven. And the joke, which I didn't see the humor in it, was this, that next Saturday night, 800 young men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness from their fathers. Now, it's supposed to be a joke. I thought it was heartbreaking. There is a desire, that a heartbeat in every human being, they long to be forgiven. And some of us are waiting for forgiveness from people who aren't even alive anymore. And forgiveness has such a power in it. Some of us would long to be forgiven by maybe our spouse or our kids or our friends or people we may have injured. Maybe you've done things that injured your kids. I don't know about you. I can tell you from my own life, the emotion that is most difficult for me to process as a man is regret. You know, I had people tell me when my kids were being raised how fast it was going to go, and really, you know, make sure you focus on your kids. And I look at the first 5, 6, 7 years our kids were born, and I was so busy, and I did so many things that were so unnecessary. And as I was trying to figure out who I was as a person and getting Jesus doing a work in me, because, you know, how many of you know, you, as a human, you can be messed up? Well, let me say it real honestly. You are messed up. And I look back on some of those days and the moments I wasted with my kids, and I have to tell you, God has to help me, because there's a regret that I feel. I've talked to my kids, and they've been gracious to me. And it's not like, look, I didn't beat them with whips. It's not that. It's just, I look back and I think, oh, the time I wasted, the things I focused on. And I've talked to my kids, and I have to tell you something. When your kids, and you're talking to them honestly, and they say to you, Dad, it's all right. Look, I forgive you. I understand you wish you could do that differently. And your kids offer you forgiveness. In fact, can I tell you this? If you're a parent and you're estranged from a child and that child needs forgiveness, I promise you, if you'll make a step, and they may not respond immediately, or maybe you've done something against them. If you'll simply, I'm telling you, there's power in forgiveness. It's an incredible thing. Maybe with your family, I don't know. Everybody longs to be forgiven. I mean, it is such a central part of the human need. But can I tell you tonight that forgiveness from God is available to every person here? Forgiveness from God is available to you. Jesus purchased it with his very own lifeblood to be forgiven. It's an amazing thing that that's what he did. Now, you may not be able to reconcile everything with people in this life, but can I tell you that the first place you want to start with forgiveness is with your God, and it's available to every person. And there are two areas of forgiveness tonight that I want you to experience. Everybody say experience. So I'm not talking about some sermon thing. This church exists so that you can experience God in everyday life. Now, you know, people will come into this church, and maybe this is one of your first time here. You haven't been here very often. And you may walk around and say, well, where are all the symbols and the this and the that? This church doesn't exist to show you the symbols or the pictures. This church exists to show you reality with God so that you don't have to leave with a picture or a hotel room with pictures. I want you to leave here, and God wants you to leave here having experienced truly the presence of God in your life and had an encounter with the person, the living Jesus, and experience the forgiveness that belongs to you as a Christian. Or maybe you don't even know God. There is forgiveness available to you. It is an incredible way to live. And I want you to experience two things tonight. One, I want you to experience forgiveness from God. And number two, I want you to experience forgiving yourself. Those two simple things sound, well, yeah, that, you know, sure, I can. I'm telling you, it paralyzes people their whole life. And you may be sitting here tonight thinking it was just going to come and do a church service thing. Let me tell you something. You're in the presence of an almighty God. And when he shows up, chains fall off of people. When Jesus shows up, prisoners go free. And God wants you to experience the forgiveness that Jesus purchased. That on a cross, he paid a debt. And truly the word forgiven is inscribed as he nailed every sin that I ever committed and you ever committed to that tree. Let me read you from Luke chapter 7 as Jesus dealt with the issue of forgiveness. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible said, now one of the Pharisees were kind of like the chief mucky muck religious people, okay? They're the guys, they knew it all. They were like the top dogs. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's home, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner. And Jesus answered him and said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. He said, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other owed 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them loved him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the larger debt canceled. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? He said, I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. That was a custom of the day to wash your feet when someone would go into your home. It was just a customary thing. You gave me no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her sins many have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the religious crowd went nuts. Jesus said to her, and I wish you could hear his words to you tonight, your sins are forgiven. And you see two types of people here. You see a person who realizes they're broken, that they're devastated, that they're full of sin in their life. They've missed God. And she comes into the presence of God in utter brokenness. And then there's this Pharisee who had righteousness on his own, who was right before God because of all the rules that he kept. But if this Pharisee knew anything about the law, he would have known that you have to keep all of the 600 plus laws of the Old Testament and never fail in one way in order to be made righteous with God. And the scripture said that if you would fail in one thing, then you would be guilty having had sinned in all manners of the law. See, this man did what most of us can do today. We judge ourselves based on people in a worse condition than we. This man thought he was right with God because of the condition of this woman. He said, this woman is a sinner. I got news for you. So was he. But it's very easy to become self-righteous. It's very easy to find your righteousness wrapped up in religion. Well, I go to church. That's wonderful. And that includes this church. I'm glad you go to church. But God didn't send a church to die for you. He sent a man to die for you. Jesus died to set men and women free. And this man, this Pharisee, said, who is this woman? Why would you even give any credence to this woman? Do you know what kind of woman this is? Most Bible scholars believe that this woman was a prostitute. Most Bible scholars believe that the alabaster box of perfume that she brought, in fact, the scripture tells us it was worth a year's wages. And do you know how she made that money? Think about it. She took money, made probably from prostitution, bought something that was precious to her, and she brought the most precious thing she had, and she broke it over his feet. And he said, Simon, You didn't even provide me water to wash my own feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss, which was customary in that day. And if you know any Middle Eastern people, friends of mine that are Middle Eastern, when they see me, we hug and they kiss me on both cheeks. It's still customary in the Middle East. He said, you didn't greet me, but this woman has not ceased to love me and to pour her heart toward me, and her sins are forgiven. And what I want you to understand, that there were two people here. One left with their sins forgiven and one didn't. One left with their sins forgiven because they received the mercy and the grace of God. And the other left with nothing. The other left with nothing because they tried to earn it on their own. You see, the struggle today isn't the availability of God's forgiveness, but your capacity to receive it. Your capacity to understand that you need a Savior. See, there are two extremes here. There are people that say, I've gone too far for God. God doesn't want me. I'm too messed up. The only difference between you and the person down the road from you is you just don't know how messed up they are. Ask them. They'll tell you. Say, well, no, what if they lie? Well, see how messed up they are? They're liars. There are two extremes. There are those who think God wouldn't want anything to do with me. And then there are those who are self-righteous. Well, I'm good. I'm better than most. I'm better than most. I mean, look, when God weighs it all out, I think I'm going to be on the side of the scale. Look, I pay my bills. I go to work. I raise my family. I'm not perfect. But I mean, when it comes to when you look at humanity and all the crazies in the world, I'm a pretty decent person. And the deception is that you think your decency purchases your salvation, and it doesn't. You think you have little to be forgiven of, and another has much to be forgiven of, but you're wrong. Every person who has the stain of sin upon their life has an equal burden of sin. And there is a Savior that died for you to experience that forgiveness. The scripture said he wants to take the sin of your life and cast it as far as the east is from the west. The scripture said, with my sin and your sin, he said, your sins and your iniquities, God said, I will remember it no more. There is amazing power when you get to wake up in the morning and your heart is clean before God. And you know that your past is gone, that you're able to stand righteous before God because of Jesus. Righteousness means simply being able to stand before God without the sense of sin consciousness and guilt and shame. Religion will heap shame on you and guilt on you and tell you the worse you feel, the closer you'll be to God. And it's an absolute lie. Jesus came and he bore your sin and he bore your shame and he bore all that comes with it. And in turn, he turns around and he offers you a clean slate. And he didn't do it with some eraser board. He nailed your sin and my sin to the cross with himself. Oh, the price that was paid for your forgiveness. The price that was paid. And once you begin to understand that my heart is clean before God, that I've made Jesus the Lord of my life and I've received his righteousness and he's taken away my sin, it changes the way you see your life. The burden and the prison that exist in every human heart when they don't know that they're right with God. That prison exists for so many listening to me right now, sitting in this room right now, maybe sitting out in the mallway right now. You live with a burden of sin in your life, the burden of sin, and you don't know how to make it go away. You maybe have made promises to God. You maybe have said, well, I've been to church. I was baptized when I was a baby. I was confirmed. I go to whatever. You name whatever confession, whatever you do, whatever sacrament you've gone to. None of those are bad, but none of them make you right with God. No church, no sacrament of any church, including this church, can make you right with God, only by receiving the man, Jesus Christ. And when you accept him into your life, forgiveness comes. And God said, I wipe the slate clean. And he doesn't do it with some eraser. He did it with nails. And when the Roman soldier drove the nail into his body, your sin was between his flesh and that wood. And he nailed it to that tree. And once you begin to walk in that kind of forgiveness, Now you can have the second thing that I know in my heart God wants you to experience. He wants you to learn how to forgive yourself. He wants you to learn how to see yourself in light of the forgiveness that Jesus offered you instead of the shadows of your past. Most of us, because we're all kind of the same, we have a tendency to go to the worst moments of our life and brand ourselves that way and define ourselves that way. It's so human to do that. And we fail to forgive ourselves. I can tell you, I guarantee you, in this room right now, someone who will watch this on television or online on the internet or download this podcast, I promise you there will be hundreds of people that will listen to these words, and this is their story, that they're an addict, that they've gone through addiction recovery 2, 3, 4, 5 times. They know they're broken, they're messed up, they've tried to mask their pain and cover their pain with either drugs or alcohol or some form of an addiction. And there's no way they can forgive themselves. Too many years have gone by. Too many relationships have been burned. So much trust has been burned. They can't forgive the people that they can't forgive themselves for the people that they've hurt. You might be sitting, I promise you there are people sitting in this room that you can't forgive yourself because you've seen the pain the people you love have had over your addiction. Maybe it's not an addiction. Maybe you committed adultery and destroyed a marriage. And your kids suffered for it, and maybe your ex-spouse did. And then you tried to, you know, make it right by finding another person, but the problem was you showed up in the second relationship. And your brokenness went into that relationship. And it went sour, and you began to think thoughts like, well, I guess this is just God punishing me. Can I tell you something about God? If God wants to punish you, you're done. There's no redemption. If God says end of the game and the buzzer buzzes, you're dead. And you will be a spot that used to be on the earth and he'll throw you in hell. That is not what he came to do. He said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that through me the world might have life. And you might be a person in this room that you can't get past your past. You may believe God has forgiven you, but you elevate how you feel about what you've done and the circumstances and even the consequences above what God says about you. But when you begin to accept the forgiveness that comes only by making Jesus the Lord of your life, God will help you to actually begin to forgive yourself. And you begin to live outside of the prison that you've been living in and the punishment you've been trying. See, so many people try through, quote, penance to punish themselves or to pay for their own sins. You don't have enough things, enough money, enough time to pay for your own sins. The Bible said there is only one debt, that the only one payment that could cancel your debt, and it was the blood of Christ. When forgiveness occurs, captives go free. When forgiveness occurs, captives go free. When you're forgiven by God, you go free. You wake up in the morning and the burden is gone. You've heard people say it maybe. I gave my life to God and it was like the sun was brighter even in Pittsburgh. It just seemed like things tasted better and smelled better. I don't know how to explain it because they got out of prison. Prison's a horrible thing. When you walk in forgiveness and you go, oh, it's an amazing thing to go free. When you forgive yourself, you talk about freedom. The potential in your life has been trapped in the prison of unforgiveness toward yourself. You've been punished. There are people in this room, you listen to me. You've punished yourself. You've done things to injure yourself because of your self-loathing. But God does that doesn't please God at all. You want to know what pleases God? Is when you humbly bow your knee before him and say, if you have forgiven me, then who am I to not forgive myself? And so, Lord, in obedience to you, by faith, I forgive myself. And Lord, I dedicate my tomorrows to honor and glorifying you, not to living my life under the shadow of a sin that you canceled. Do you know that you can live that way? Do you know that it is available for you? Listen to me. It's not progressive. You can leave tonight and have it in your life. This is what I need. You know, give me 6 months to work it out. You can have 6,000 years and you won't work it out. This is a free gift. And lastly, forgiveness. You talk about setting people free. When you forgive other people, you set them free. But can I tell you what else happens when you forgive people? You go free as well. Because the truth of it is that when you forgive somebody, the prisoner that you set free is really yourself. Forgiveness is so powerful. That's why the scripture tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 these words. He, Jesus, canceled the debt which listed all the rules we failed to follow and took away that record with its rules, and he nailed it to a cross. You've had your record expunged. He said, everything you ever failed to do. Now, they were making fun of me because I found these two things. This represents you. See, it's a man and a woman. They were making fun of me. They said it really was kind of odd. I should have found something better, but I don't care what Steve Moore says. In fact, who cares? He's paying all of our debts. He's a good man. But everybody in this room has things behind them that they regret. And for some of you, maybe you've never even given your life to Jesus. So I'm not a religious person. Awesome, and don't become one. What a waste. Why don't you become a follower of Jesus and walk in the grace that he has for your life and live the fullness of the life that he has for you? He has never called you to live some religious life that's not. Here's what people say. I don't want to live some hypocritical life where I pretend I'm something I'm not. I agree. You don't have to pretend. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when you give your life to him, let me tell you, he doesn't pretend. He really has forgiven you. You really do get to go out of your prison. And everybody in this room, you can either walk out of this carrying the weight of your sin, or you can do exactly what these others did tonight. You can walk over to a cross, and you can step up to that cross by faith, and you can take those sins, and you can nail them to a tree. You can leave this place forgiven and cleansed and set free. That could be your story tonight. You can have your past nailed to a cross tonight, or you can leave here carrying that burden, and you don't have to leave here with your sins. In fact, out in the mallway, you'll see there are picture frames hanging from the ceilings. And after this service is over, I'm going to ask you to stop by and take the time and get to one of those and have somebody grab your phone and take your picture. And the bottom of the picture frame, you get behind it and it says forgiven. And you post it this Easter weekend on social media and Twitter and Instagram and Hoogala Boogala, whatever they're called. And say, because of the love of Jesus, I've been forgiven. I want to pray for every person here tonight. I want to pray that you'll experience the two things we talked about tonight that are so deeply in my heart for you, that you will experience the forgiveness that Jesus came to offer, and then you will forgive yourself. There are many of you in this room that you've given your life to Jesus years ago, and you may have been a Christian for many years, but you've never forgiven yourself. This Easter, you want to celebrate a resurrection, a resurrected Savior, then leave here with the new life that he died to give you. Don't let your past be your Lord. Let Jesus be your Lord. Don't let yesterday define your tomorrows. Let your Savior define your tomorrows. You were made to live a life reflecting the glory of God, not the injuries of your past. That's what you were called to live. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? I want to pray for you. For those of you who may have been Christians for many years, you say, I know that God's forgiven me of my sins. I know that I've become a new creature in Jesus. I know that he's made me brand new because of his love for me. But you know, I've not yet really forgiven myself. In fact, you may have found yourself even punishing yourself. There are people that do destructive things simply because they think that's what they deserve. Let me tell you what you deserve and what I deserve. We all deserve the hell apart from God. But Jesus came and died and paid a debt so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So I would ask you first tonight, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You'd say, you know what, Pastor John, I want to leave here forgiving myself. I want yesterday to no longer haunt me. Doesn't mean what you did will ever be right. That's not the point. The point of it is, to whom the Son sets free can be free indeed. So if you're here tonight and you want to experience that forgiveness for yourself, before I go on to those of you who may not know Jesus, Let me start with you. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I need to forgive myself. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just quickly put your hand up and right back down and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Probably 40% of this room raised their hand. Why? Because it's a human condition. You're not alone. You're not alone in that you're struggling through an issue. But let me tell you why else you're not alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I want to pray over you now that you experience that amazing grace of God. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice that they would come and accept the fact that you have forgiven them, that they no longer will elevate their feelings or the consequences above your forgiveness. That by faith, I pray over them right now that they forgive themselves, that they walk away from that prison of torment, that they walk away from that prison that's caused them to even make decisions that are so far from the plan you have for them. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy to abound in their hearts and in their lives. I pray that over them in Jesus' name. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this evening and you don't know what would happen to you if you drew your final breath tonight, please, this is the most important 5 minutes of your life. This is more important than where you work, who you married, how much money you make. This is the decision that will determine where you spend eternity. If you're here tonight and you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you see, Jesus said there is a heaven to gain, and Jesus said there is a hell to shun. Well, I don't like to hear about that. That's irrelevant to the truth. I don't like the weather in Pittsburgh, but it's still the weather. Jesus died to pay the debt you couldn't pay. And he shed his blood and died on a cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. And that resurrection power is available to you to right now. As you, if you were to want to receive Jesus, the scripture said he turns no one away. He will come and make you brand new. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you'd say to me, you know, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if I died tonight. I don't know my eternal destination, but I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he did die on that cross to bear my sins, was buried, and he rose from the dead and conquered death. And he did so for me. And I want to make him the Lord of my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you have to make a decision. Maybe are you going to be like that woman who came and washed the feet of Jesus and humbled yourself, said, I need a Savior. Or are you going to be like the Pharisee and say, I'm not that bad. I go to church. I have my own religion. Whatever your own religion is worthless, including if you call this church your religion. There is no church that can make you a Christian. No amount of church attendance. You can baptize a baby until they're waterlogged. It will not make them a Christian. Confirmation won't make you a Christian. Communion won't make you a Christian. Confession won't make you a Christian. Coming to this church won't make you a Christian. No pastor, no priest, no religious figure or authority can make you a Christian. Only by inviting the Savior into your life willfully, knowingly, will he come. And the scripture said, now listen to this, he will turn no one away. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you'd say to me, Pastor John, would you please pray for me? Would you please include me in a prayer to invite Jesus in my heart? I want to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of my life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something as simple as to acknowledge that you desire to receive Christ through an uplifted hand. And then I'm going to simply acknowledge that and then ask you to pray a prayer with me. And then this whole congregation will pray that prayer out loud and together with you, and Jesus will come into your heart. So with heads bowed and eyes closed between you and God, he said, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to know when I leave this place that I've experienced the forgiveness that's in Jesus. I want to leave this place with my burdens lifted from me. I want to leave this place knowing that Christ is the Lord of my life. I want to leave this place free from my past because of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in that prayer, right where you're seated right now, simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Do it right now. Do it right now. Lift it where you be bold about it and receive the mercy of God. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Now listen, if you didn't yet raise your hand, you could see I'm not going to embarrass you or single you out. This is between you and God. And please understand, these lights are bright enough that I can't even see your face. I don't know who you are. So no one's looking at you. I want you not to miss. I don't want you to miss out on the most gracious, the most amazing gift in the world, Jesus, because of something like, well, I'd be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. He died to set you free of your shame. So if you've not yet raised your hand, you'd say, Pastor, I want to be included with those many, many people that just raised their hand to receive Jesus. I didn't yet raise my hand, but please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now, and we'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. You have not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, include me with those many that have. One last moment. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray with me tonight to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You are about to make the most important decision that you will ever make in your entire life. Pray this for you here, and we'll all pray it together with you and celebrate with you that you are about to live in the realms of being forgiven. Pray this for you here, and we'll pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. In Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you that you canceled my sin debt. Thank you that I'm now forgiven. I forgive myself. Thank you for your mercy over my life. I receive that. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. And I confess boldly that I am forgiven. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Incredible.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.